kind, gentle creatures that can only hurt one another by accident. He says, then there are wolves. The wolves will feed on the sheep. They're the sociopaths. They're the criminals. He says, and then there are sheepdogs. The sheep are a little leery of the sheepdog. He wanders around, checks the perimeter every night, and barks at the moon. He would never turn his teeth on the flock, but he yearns for a righteous battle. When the wolf comes around, nothing else will do, and the entire flock is sitting there trying to hide behind one lonely sheepdog as he faces down the wolves. We're talking about a creature who is capable of confronting and dealing with combat and sustaining themselves across the long haul. The goal becomes to be a sheepdog, to be a warrior, to be the one that is ready to respond to the threats when the time arises.
And welcome to Blue Justice. You guys are stuck with Miss Amanda again today. And I have my very good friends, David S. and Tammy, on the phone. Say hi, guys.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Tammy, you're just, like, muffled. I could barely hear you.
I just said, hey, guys.
Oh. Well, I don't really have a topic today. Today's just kind of going to be a fun day, a little bit of chit-chat here and there. We talked about covering some corrections, a little bit about the forgotten cops. We have a guy that posts in the group all the time, and that's what he calls it. I don't want him to think that we are taking his title, but I think it's perfect, the Forgotten Officers Corrections. And I'm hoping that Chuck can call in and really talk about they do a little bit more. And I also, well, I'll leave that to him, but he kind of had some feelings to express about the Beyonce thing, and I would like for him to call in for that. So we're hoping to hear from him, but it's very early where he's at, so we'll see if he gets on in time. Do you guys have anything you want to talk about at the moment?
Yeah, I just want to chime in on a quick note. After yesterday's show, my phone started going off with messages, and they were in a positive. I mean, I wish that the people could have called in, but they contacted me personally. I was asked a question about safety issues concerning what do you do if you see an officer pull somebody over, and things of that nature. And they want to be able to be eyes and ears for them and help them. I'm going to give a quick answer to that question. As far as safety is concerned, I would recommend that you not, every time you see an officer pulling somebody over, don't pull up behind that situation because you're putting yourself in harm's way because the officer doesn't know if you are there to assist or a danger. If you want to watch from a greater distance, by all means, but do not put yourself in harm's way. Let the officer do his job. I mean, if there's something that goes awry, your best thing for you to do is be eyes and ears and a good witness. Just like, people use cell phones to act against the police, you can be there to help the police. You get your phone out and start doing what you got to do. But don't get involved immediately. They're doing their job. Let them do their job. And it's good to be conscientious and be protective of your officers, but do not try and get involved while they're trying to do their job. All you're going to do is hinder the process. And you might put yourself in jeopardy. Look on it from a distance. Watch. Be good eyes and ears. Be a good witness. That's my recommendation.
I'm with you 100% on that. With that, I would say be conscientious of what exactly it looks like. Even if you're from a distance, if the officer sees you, like, pull over in an adjacent parking lot or something and you pull out your cell phone and that officer catches that in the corner of his eye, is he going to think you're pulling a gun on him? Always be conscientious of what the officer. Have in mind exactly what perception is going to be of you. Always. That's in traffic stops. That's anytime. Always think about that officer's perception, because the last thing you want to do is make an officer feel like you're a threat. So do it from a distance, but do it from a good distance where you are not going to be perceived as a threat to that officer.
Right. And also, if you're going to do that from a distance, do not, because you want to be able to see, because you want a good vantage point, do not pull yourself into a dark parking lot. You're setting yourself up for failure. You want to stay in a well-lit area if it's at night, highly traveled and highly trafficked. That way you're not putting yourself in harm's way. If you isolate yourself in a dark parking lot, let's say that's across the street from what's going on, you also put yourself in harm's way because you open yourself up to a crime. I mean, you're setting yourself up for failure is what you're doing. Just stay in a well-lit area. I don't recommend anybody go into a dark parking lot and watch from a distance, especially if you plan on exiting your vehicle. Don't do that. Just stay in your vehicle, watch from a distance, stay in a well-lit area, but keep your distance.
Something else to add on to that, if you don't want to stop, if you're worried about stopping and making yourself look like a threat to the officer, if you decide you're just going to drive on, there's nothing wrong with that, but get your ass over in the other lane. There is nothing I can't stand more than watching an officer have someone pulled over on the side of the highway and cops just flying by at 70 miles an hour in the lane that is directly right beside this officer. So many officers are killed. So many construction workers. People are killed on the side of the road all the time because people don't get over. Slow down. It's the law anyway. Slow down and move over for emergency vehicles. That irritates me so bad.
Well, not only that is, come on, folks. I mean, not every state has a law, but some have adopted it, and I'm glad they have, texting and driving. You know what? There isn't a phone call in the world, a text that has to be returned or read while you are driving that vehicle. If you feel it's that important, pull yourself over and do it. Don't do it on the highway. You might harm somebody, especially one of our police officers that's trying to do his job, and you inadvertently, I mean, we had a case here where a guy was checking his Facebook, and what did he do? He killed a policeman. He killed a state trooper.
I was going to tell Tammy. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
This morning I was in the car with Tammy, and every time this song by, I think it's Pharrell Williams, comes on called Happy, I will never forget this story. There was a girl who was texting. That song came on. And she took a selfie driving her car and posted on her Facebook, "I'm so happy," or something, referencing that song, and immediately hit a semi and decapitated herself seconds after she hit that Facebook post. That was her last thing. And that's a true story. And you've got to be careful. Yeah. Yeah, this is like not officer related, but I think everyone should see it. There is a documentary out there about texting and driving that really, really put it into perspective. I mean, it's just real life people. They tell their stories of what has happened to them. One person killed a family. One person she was checking her mail and a teenager was texting and driving and hit her, and she has amnesia really bad to the point, it's like that movie 50 First Dates where she wakes up and every day is a whole new day and she doesn't know who anybody is and you have to work with her through the whole day. She's kind of an elderly lady. Her long-term memory is completely gone. She's completely debilitated. She can't. And this woman was a businesswoman who traveled the world, who did so many things. She had a couple of grown kids. It's a documentary that everyone should see. It's not just yourself that's affected when you text and drive.
Exactly. And, you know, you say it really isn't law enforcement related, but it really is. Because, let's face it, you're on the highways. Our officers are on the highways. Especially on the highways, you got troopers that have to get out of their vehicles on a busy highway. How much more of a dangerous situation can you get out in? I mean, come on, you've got vehicles weighing 4 tons or better coming down, barreling down 65, 75 miles an hour, you know what? You get smacked with that. I mean, it's going to knock you in the next, and, you know, your life is done. You're done. Do you really want to be responsible for taking a life because you thought texting back to your friend because they had a cute little selfie? I mean, come on, get over yourself. You know, that's not important. There are much more important things in life than taking a selfie going down a highway doing 75 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yep. And I'm actually guilty of that. But that documentary really scared me. And now if I think it's something I need to reply to, I mean, I actually bought a Bluetooth headset for the car. And now if there's something I need to take care of, I pull over. I do pull over because it's dangerous and it's scary. And I don't know what that documentary is called, but it definitely should be seen by all. It'll really get your attention.
Well,
any
Oklahoman thing, I mean, that law was enacted here, you know, and it went into effect as of November 1st of 2015. So, you know, let's be a little bit conscientious here and put the phone down. Keep both hands on the wheel, eyes forward. You don't need to be looking down at the
So they put into perspective just how quick it happens, just how, you know, you think, oh, I've got this under control. It's only going to take a couple of seconds, but that couple of seconds is all it takes. another one of those stories, I believe, was like a 9-year-old boy who was a football star, really up and coming, good, you know, good kid, going to really do stuff with his life. And he was walking the street with his, 12-year-old sister. And he was hit by another teenager texting and driving, and that kid is now in a wheelchair. And by in a wheelchair, I mean he will never be the same. He can't even talk. The kid is, I don't know how to say it without sounding cold and callous, but this child is completely debilitated. He has to have his butt changed. He has to, he can't do anything. He can't do anything. He's in one of those special wheelchairs, and he's just, he can't do anything.
Yeah,
and the mother talks about her perspective.
Yeah,
go ahead.
There's a hell of a trade-off there. I mean, come on, let's face it, folks. And one thing I want to touch on something on a much happier note. It was nice to see, you know, and God works in mysterious ways, that our Clarksdale police officer that was shot is making a recovery. He is alert. He has opened his eyes. He is making contact.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes,
it is.
Isn't
that amazing?
And it's, you know, like they said in the article, you know, God has the last say-so, okay? And, that's true. Yeah, and I'm glad to see that officer is, you know, on the road to recovery. It's going to be a long road, but he's on the road to recovery. He's awake, alert. He can actually, you know, make a thumbs up motion to his family to say that, hey, I'm here. You know, I hear you, I see you, and you can talk.
So for those that don't know what's going on with the Clarksdale officer, he was shot point blank in the face. He lost an eye, and the bullet is lodged in his brain.
And
he's
been
on a ventilator.
Yeah, he was not expected to live at all. And it's really done a total 360 here, and I'm really happy to see that that's happened.
Absolutely, and that is very, very good to hear. But again, back on what we were saying yesterday about this, that officer can no longer wear a uniform. He will never be able to wear a uniform.
True.
He is now going to be one of those statistics. His life, you know, say, assuming that he makes it and he makes a full of a potential recovery that he can, he will never be able to be an officer again. His life is dramatically changed forever.
His life has really changed dramatically.
And this was the pastor and father of 5 children. Yes.
I was just going to point out, we were talking about a list yesterday. Like, a lot of times you'll only see the list of those that have been killed and not those that have survived, that were injured and will never get to work again even. We had somebody, we haven't verified, but we had somebody share to the page that 38 officers have been killed since January 1st. That is much larger than our list of injured and killed, attacked, you know, that we shared yesterday. We had only 34 that we knew of. So we'll have to verify that, but it just, it's shocking to hear. I mean, I knew that our list only went through to the 12th. It did not include corrections. I didn't know who else it didn't include, but I had several people saying, don't forget about this person and don't forget about this person. And it's just the fact that there's so many more that are not on that list. I can't imagine how many more people have been injured that have survived. If you go on, originally the post I shared, I had copied it off of the post that it had listed it. It was a picture, a story, and then the list, and it was buried. It was hidden, and nobody was noticing that that list was on that post. So I copied it and posted it again to bring attention to it. If you look at the original post, though, and go to that page, they're breaking stories. It's day after day. Somebody has been shot. Somebody has been hit by a car or, you know, been in an accident. There are so many more. And this is every day you've got more people to add to this list. And it's really sad. It's scary. You know, you think how many people have just turned on our law enforcement. I've never heard of anything like this before. You know, and I don't know if I'm just waking up to it. I mean, this is just so much more. Do we even have the number from last year to see how many more officers we've had attacked this year? Do we have a number?
I don't think we do.
I can get it really quick. We have a member of LESMA who created a website.
Last year we had a very big increase. You know, we were doing some research on some articles and found, well, one of the posts on that list says that the declaration on law enforcement was declared with that particular shooting. And I didn't find that, but I found several news articles from September of last year of a declaration of war on our law enforcement. So I knew already our numbers. That's part of why this group was created, that a lot more attacks were happening every day on our law enforcement just for no reason at all other than out of hate. And so I'm thinking that as much as we've had already this year, though, that our numbers have gone up since last year. I mean, that we're past where we were last year. I don't know. What do you think, David?
Okay, listen. So I just pulled this up.
Yeah.
I think our numbers are up dramatically from last year. Mm-hmm. I don't have an exact number for last year's unfortunate situations, but
yeah,
from what I can remember from following as much of it as I could, our numbers have increased, I think, almost double in a short amount of time, in this short window that we've just been in this new year.
Yeah.
One thing, too, I wanted to touch on, I know we're bouncing back and forth on topics, but I get into another safety issue, and it was another thing that was brought to my attention, and I'll just touch on it. I mean, these individuals, they're not law enforcement officers, but they do enforce safety situations. I'm talking about your uniform security men and women. Okay, if you're in that industry, if you wear a uniform that remotely resembles your local police department, things of that nature, let's face it, folks, if you have the ability to change out of that uniform before you go home at the end of your shift, I would recommend you do so. Only because the level of violence violence against police officers right now, you actually make yourself a target. And, you know, people don't sit there to stare at a uniform pass to see if you're the real deal or if you're just a security officer or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, protect yourself, just like I tell people to protect themselves that aren't in any kind of security or law enforcement industry. You've got to take steps to make sure that you're safe. And wearing the uniform, you might be proud of what you're doing, and I commend you for that, but think about it from the perspective, if you were a police officer, you know that, you know, you wear the uniform, there's a target painted on you, unfortunately. And if you're wearing a security officer's uniform that resembles a police officer's uniform, you have just become a target as well from a distance, because they cannot tell whether you're the real deal or not. So if you have the ability to wear a jacket or change your shirt after the end of shift, you know, don't put yourself out there as a target. Protect yourself. Think two steps ahead.
You know, David, that's a great point, because even our military, they're told, don't go shopping in your uniform. They actually are told not to put, like, stickers and stuff on their vehicle, because they're making themselves a target. You know, walk around your vehicle to check it out. But the big thing they say, don't go out in your uniform shopping and going through town and stuff. Change your clothes. They don't want you to do that because you're going to make yourself a target. And that's the same thing with our law enforcement and any officers. My dad was a security guard himself, you know, worked at a courthouse.
I mean, they won't hesitate, you know, if they don't hesitate to shoot police officers now, and what makes you think that they're not going to hesitate to shoot you, especially if they think you're a police officer?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you put on a uniform, the minute you walk out that door, you know, and somebody sees a uniform and they have a hatred for it, you're in the line of fire. You really are. So let's be proactive. Think two steps ahead. It's great that you have the appreciation for your job and the love for your job, but also think of your own personal safety and the person that might be standing next to you because you're wearing that uniform. If you're not a police officer, I would say my suggestion to you would be either change into your uniform shirt once you arrive at work, or if you're going to wear it to work, if you have the ability to put a jacket on over it, just to protect yourself, so you don't put yourself out there as a target.
Yeah. Definitely, I agree. Amanda, did you have a number for us from last year?
This is ambushes.
Okay.
In 2015, we had, according to our guy who put this together, and he keeps very close track, we had 107 ambushes.
In the whole year.
Documented out of 365 days. 84% of those officers survived, 15.9% did not.
Okay, so right now, our numbers as far as police-related deaths because of ambush or whatnot has increased twofold.
Yeah, just our list that we had yesterday, we had about 35. And this wasn't, like I said, it did not include corrections, so we didn't have any of those on there. And I knew one particular incident that was recent that Chuck had shared that was not on that list. This was just till February 12th we had 35 that I know of. And if that other number is true, the 38 deaths already, we are well on our way to being double this year, I would say, for sure, because...
That other list that you were referring to that this gentleman compiles, are those just police officers, or is there corrections involved in that as well?
I haven't seen it. It just is a statement, as far as I could tell. I haven't been able to verify it, how many... You know, and like I said, there are I've seen some reports recently with numbers that included those that were killed just from car accidents. And
I would
we actually, had,
I would actually say to this gentleman that he compiled, you know, two separate lists. One that, you know, just police officers and corrections, and then have another list where it's police officers, corrections, and security, only for the mere fact because security is maybe mistaken for police officers. So that I would consider, you know, assault on the police community because they're thinking that these people are, you know, and they get caught in the crosshair. So that that could reflect, you know, your numbers, you know, and the way the outlook on the abuse towards our officers is taking place.
That's so I want to talk about... Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to bring up, we recently were told about a security officer that is missing. And didn't you mention that yesterday, Amanda?
And I have not received any updates on that. As far as I know,
yeah,
he's still missing. Okay, I wanted to, I'm looking at this ambush website, and I don't know exactly what he uses to collect his data. So, I'm just not sure. He has so far 19 ambushes out of 46 days in 2016. 46 days, so you're looking at, he's keeping it pretty up to date. So I don't know. I don't know what he's defining as ambush. If it's actual ambush or if it's just attack, assault, whatever, you know, et cetera. But he has 19 recorded out of 46 days in 2016, and I see something very interesting here. He's actually got a pie chart for several different things for 2016. Now he doesn't have this for 2015, but for 2016 it says they have a pie chart for suspect outcome. So officer outcome was 84% survived, 16% died. Suspect outcome, 57.9% were arrested, 31% were died, and 10.5% unknown. So people are saying that these cops are out there just killing people in cold blood, and they're acting like it's so prevalent that officers are just killing people. But according to the data we have here, if you round up, 58% of the suspects are arrested and not killed. The remaining, you've got 31.6% that did die, and then you've got 10.5% that unknown. I mean, I'm assuming they probably haven't been caught. That's double almost that are arrested from what are killed. So these people are, I saw an article yesterday that said something about, people are acting like these cops are just out for blood and they're just going to kill you and you're not safe no matter what you do and, you know, whatever, but almost 60% of people who have ambushed a police officer were taken into custody. That's huge. They're not, that to me, that speaks volumes, and it very much goes against this rhetoric that officers are going to kill you, officers are out to kill people. It is right there.
Right.
There for 60% of these people who, again, ambush an officer, they are taken into custody. 60% almost are taken into custody. That's huge. That completely blows everything that they have to say about this out for blood rhetoric out of the water. It blows it all out of the water. Here's another interesting one. Suspect criminal history. 68.4% had a known criminal history. 31.6% criminal history unknown. That's not to say that they don't have a criminal history at all. That's just saying we don't know. I don't know, again, but nearly 70% had a criminal history. Here's another interesting statistic. These are all from 2016. 47.4%
and we're going on suspects, we're talking about suspects, 47.4% were white. 31.6% black. 10.5% unknown. So, yeah, very interesting. Here's another one that it's interesting to me, but it's not, I mean, it's pretty common knowledge. However, for it to be put into data, 100%. Can you guys guess what this one's going to be? 100% of these suspects were male. 100%.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, me either. It's interesting to see it in black and white, but it doesn't surprise me at all. Okay, and we got one more statistic here. The type of ambush. 57.9% of the ambushes were gunshot. 57.9.
Wow.
Yes. And 42.2% assault.
That number is really high.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
No, and it
57.9.
You take these statistics, okay, with the assaults on police officers, okay? There was just, you know, in our presidential race with our candidates making various statements, anti-police statements. Bernie Sanders just made one here just recently, and I'm going to just touch on it real quick. You know, he made the statement that said, most police officers are honest, hardworking, and trying to do a very difficult job, but when police officers, like any other public official, breaks the law, they have to be held accountable. Lethal force is the last resort, not the first. There is always a way to deal with somebody who is mentally ill or has a knife, and we can deal with that without killing him. We have the same pictures on TV as I have about local police departments looking like occupying armies. We have to demilitarize our local police department. This guy needs to get his head out of his ass. He really does. And he's saying that we're supposed to, the police department should reflect the diversity of the community they serve. Well, just how do you expect them to do that? Not wear a uniform, drive around in an old sedan with no markings, maybe get out of their car with old jeans on that they have around their knees and don't pull their pants up? Is that how you want them to be diverse so they can blend in with the youth of today because they're too lazy to dress properly so they can blend in? Come on, get your head out of your ass and let these people do their fucking job.
So I missed all of that because I was dealing with the mascot, so sorry about that. I don't know what I missed. But Tammy did just share an article with me. CNN did talk about the officers that were killed. That's pretty rare. I can't read the article while I'm on the air because I'll go silent. But that's interesting alone that CNN covers it because most do not. Most, this has been like, if you're not in the police community or the police support community, people don't even realize just how prevalent it's been that officers have been killed. Yeah.
They not only mentioned the sudden amount, you know, the five that had died in the week, but they also mentioned those that had died from, like, the plane crash and other incidents that had. So they included other deaths that were not violent, you know, attacks on them as well. Which I found, you know, it's just kind of one of those things where you're like, wow, they actually wrote something about, you know, they actually recognized it. Here we don't have anybody else recognizing it, but somebody finally did. You know, David brought up somebody, who was it in Texas that you had mentioned?
Oh, Ted Poe. Ted Poe, yeah, from Houston. He's a representative there. He was bringing up at the Senate. He went before the Speaker of the House, and he was the one that had balls enough to stand up and say, you know, we have to look at, you know, these police officers that are losing their lives. I mean, he went on and on and on, mentioned the two deputies just recently that lost their life. He did more in a short statement to the Speaker of the House than the President has done the entire time in his office trying to quell this situation. He doesn't do it, but this representative stood up, and he took the bull by the horns, and he put it out there that we need to start paying attention to this.
Yeah.
You know,
let's talk about your president for a second. I don't know if you saw this yesterday or not, but I have seen it shared pretty prevalently on my news feed. So the president has a meeting scheduled with some Black Lives Matter activists today, and I can't remember who else it is.
Yep, our president of the United States. I think it also might be in the pending. I could look it up for you real quick.
It was, but I don't know because I read that article that was shared, and it seemed to be it was like a friend news source, one of those extreme news sources that kind of makes things sensationalized. I guess it was very sensationalized, and it was not, I don't think it was appropriate for the group, I think is why I did not share it. The information was accurate, but it's the way that they spun it. I don't like things being spun one way or another, but that's what we, you know, so I didn't want to share a media story that was biased one way or the other, and it seemed pretty sensationalized. I just pulled up a CNN article. Civil rights activists, including members of protest groups like Black Lives Matter, will meet at the White House Thursday as part of the administration's marking of Black History Month. A senior administrator said the gathering would be a first-of-its-kind event as the president will convene with leaders who represent different generations of civil rights leaders. This includes young activists from groups formed in the wake of incidents of police violence in places like Ferguson, Missouri, and Baltimore.
So basically, he wants to kiss their ass, but yet that son of a bitch can't take 5 minutes out of his time to call these officers' families and give condolences from the White House and say, we're sorry for your loss. You know, we thank him for his service and his sacrifice, but yet
you'll
entertain the BLM and invite them to fucking lunch at the White House. That's as bad as taking a kid that builds a goddamn...
The week after all this has happened with these officers, after all of these police killings.
You talk about a real kick
in the face. Yes. Yes. Listen, and here's what it says, the group will, quote, discuss a range of issues, including the administration's effort on criminal justice reform, building trust between law enforcement and the communities they serve and the president's priorities during his final year in office, unquote. Now, I have to do this. Building trust between law enforcement and the communities they serve. If you're going to meet with Black Lives Matter, the people who stood in police officers' faces and screamed about sleeping with their wives, going home and raping their wives, about Black Lives Matter going to the officers' homes and raping their wives, saying, I saw one where he's like, hey, your wife looks really cute tonight. She's wearing this little pink nightie, blah, blah, blah. But in this officer's face, when he is wearing a badge, on duty, can't say anything, cannot react, cannot do anything, and this man is in his face screaming that your wife is looking cute in her little pink nightie. I just drove by your house a little bit ago. Those are the people that he is meeting with to discuss relations between law enforcement and their communities and building trust. Give me a fucking break. That part is what makes me mad.
I mean,
if you want to build trust,
he's become lawless. He's turning it upside down. You know,
the people who burned their own communities, the people who threw bricks and rocks at their communities, that's who he's meeting with. And to help them build trust with their law enforcement communities, between the law enforcement and their communities. How about we put some people in a room, rational people. David, our David Kinese has offered numerous times to sit and have a public debate with these people. Let's get them in a room. Let's get everybody in a group, rational people, people who will listen to each other's points of view. Rather than getting these fringe groups, these extremists, these people that do these things to these officers, you're calling them to the White House. That is a spit in the face. And then to actually come out with a statement that says, we're going to talk about building trust between law enforcement and their communities. How are you going, these people want no police officers. They
basically
want
what
none.
The White House is doing, he's going to create, in a different aspect, but he's going to create another civil war. That's exactly what's going to happen. We're not going to have to worry about foreign aggression. It's not foreign aggression we're going to have to worry about. It's going to be right here, and he's causing it. It's going to be the police against the community, you know, and it's going to be an all-out war.
Well, let's talk about the public perception here of your average man, not your police supporters, not your police officers, not your Black Lives Matter, your average man who gets up every morning, goes to work, does his 9-to-5, earns his paycheck, pays his bills, and minds his business, watches the news every now and then. Let's talk about his perception. Okay? All he knows is what he sees on the news. And
right.
he doesn't really think for himself. He's just, you know, it's news, it's something to turn on in the morning while he's putting his boots on. We are seeing these groups. He's seen Ferguson burn. He saw Baltimore burn. He saw all of this stuff going on. And now he's seeing these people invited to the White House. What does that tell the average American? If you want your way, throw a fit, burn a building, throw bricks at police officers. If you want to, you know, and now we're going to invite you to the White House to hear your side because you acted like a fool on the streets, and we are going to pander to that. To the average American, this is what the message you're sending.
Yeah, it's definitely the opposite of what, you know, our standards and our quality of life were built on here in America. I mean, he's going against everything that the United States is built on. You know, we have to have a good basic law enforcement. We have laws in place to keep peace, not to create havoc or unrest. You know, you have to deal with it properly. And just to sit there and literally strip police officers of the ability to do their job, you're creating anarchy. That's what you're creating. And then you're going to sit there and invite these people that are creating the anarchy to the White House for lunch at the taxpayers' expense for idiots that sit there and shoot police officers, stab police officers, and just do whatever the hell they want and turn this nation upside down. And you're going to pat them on the back? Are you that dumb? Obviously, you are. He's a village idiot. I mean, that's the nicest way I can put it.
Let's go back again from what the average Joe's perception is here. Let's cancel that out. What are you telling our police officers, Mr. President? What kind of message are you sending to our police officers? Think about it.
Yeah. I mean, you're telling them they're not worth anything, and we don't care about you, and you're meaningless, and that's not the approach to have. You know, the officers are not doing this job to get a pat on the back. First off, you know, or our corrections officers. They're not in it to get a pat on the back. They're doing it because they know it's the right thing to do. They're doing a job that not everybody wants. They're the ones that stepped up to the plate and said, I'm going to do this job for you, and I'm going to protect you. They're not looking to be thanked. They're not, but it's nice that they are. I mean, everybody likes to be appreciated. And if you're going to send that kind of negative message to our law enforcement community, being, you know, an officer on the street or an officer that's in our prison systems, you're really slapping them in the face, and you're ignorant. You're ignorant. That's plain and simple. You're ignorant.
To me, it is the opposite of what any good leader would do. And since we've covered, you know, there's pretty much three sides to this whole deal. You've got your average citizen, you've got your police officers, and then you've got your fringe groups, your Black Lives Matter. What are you telling the Black Lives Matter community to keep burning things down? Keep doing, I see this thing all the time, and Rosa Parks, you know, it says Rosa Parks didn't refuse to move on the bus. She did not burn the bus down. But what are you telling the communities, Mr. President, by inviting these people to the White House and letting, according to this statement, letting them be heard?
You're
are you telling people of America that
you're giving them a credit card to create violence? That's all you're doing.
Exactly. That's what I was getting at. Exactly. Where is the real leadership here? Where is the real leadership? Where's the real dialogue? What, Tammy?
Do you remember that video that we shared during protests where they were saying, we want child care, we want this,
yes.
we want that. All these demands, like, and then you're saying they're going to the White House, and, the one that is pending, the post that's pending, is talking about how they're talking about law enforcement reform. You're bringing these people in that have these unrealistic demands. I mean, they just want life on a platter for them. You know, they want all this stuff. Yes. They want police officers to be nice.
They want police officers to walk up and coddle them. And I've heard David Kinney say it so many times that it's really stuck with me. I'm not here to be your friend. I am not here to be your friend. I am here to do a job. And when the officers show up on a scene, they cannot coddle people. Think about it. Go back to Maryland just this week. I believe it was late last week. But go back to Maryland. The officer sat down next to someone and said, what's going on, and was shot in the head. You can't coddle people. If you don't like the way you're treated.
I was just going to say, you could show favoritism. You know, when an officer shows up on the scene, they know somebody there. And then, you know, these individuals go into a legal battle. And you got this officer that, you know, being buddy-buddy with somebody else, and they can claim, well, it's favoritism. The reports, messed up because they were friends. They can't. They have to be, they have
neutral,
to be neutral,
100%.
Yeah, neutral, yeah. That's the word I was looking for.
yep, 100%. That you're right, 100%. So they want law enforcement reform. I mean, their idea of law enforcement reform, if you'll remember back in Ferguson, they didn't want the riot shields. They didn't want the riot shields, but whatever they were wearing or whatever they didn't have the riot shields before the riot shields got brought out, again, there were people literally standing inches from officers' faces saying, I'm coming for your wife tonight. You're nothing, what they call them, what was it, bitch with a badge or some shit. Let me tell you, I have to do this. The bitch standing in front of someone who they know, if that person responds in any way, fashion, will lose his job, his livelihood, everything that he has worked for, if he even opens his mouth to speak a response. And is standing there taking that verbal lashing from some idiot who's calling him a bitch trying to get that reaction. The real bitch there is the one that is so cowardice, he can't confront someone who can confront them back. That's the bitch. That's the bitch. You ain't got no balls if you're standing up to somebody and saying, I know they're saying that the officers hide behind their badge. No, you guys were hiding behind the officers' badges. You knew that those officers could not respond, and you're in their face, and I'm watching these videos, and spit is flying out of their mouth into these officers' faces while they're screaming, and I couldn't have done it. I couldn't have done it.
Hey, Amanda, I want to chime in real quick.
I'm done.
On something that just got a notification, and I want to put it out there. There's an Amber Alert out right now for El Reno, Oklahoma. A child's been abducted. The child was last seen being taken in a 2005 green Ford, and the license plate number is 689 Larry Henry David. Please, if you see this vehicle, call your local police department and get on it right away. We have a child abduction.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to go back to letting you do it. I just thought that was important.
No, absolutely. And I was done. I was done. I just wanted to. So many times I've wanted to, and I don't know how to address it to where people understand the cops could not respond, and they these groups think that they're so big and bad because they can scream in an officer's face about going to rape the officer's wife that night or something. You know, it just. And really, the coward, you are a coward. You are a coward if you are screaming in an officer's face. You are a coward if you're challenging an officer to do something. And then turning around and saying, the riot shields scare us. The riot shields need to go. We're afraid of this militant uniform.
Well,
y'all are the reason that militant uniform is there. Absolutely. Your behavior dictates theirs. And they had for their safety.
Bottles, this mm-hmm. and that and the other. I mean, do you expect an officer to allow you to hit him in the head with a bottle, a rock, whatever? Are you out of your mind?
But they did because they were allowed to sit there and scream in their faces that way. They were allowed to get inches from these officers' faces and do this. So, of course, they believe we're allowed to do this. Let's push it a little bit further. I remember them throwing bottles of piss at the cops. Bottles. Of piss. You're a coward. You're a coward. They are cowards. I just, there is nothing that boils my blood even more than seeing what I saw happen in Ferguson, Missouri last year and in Baltimore. That was bad. It was disgusting. They're animals. They were behaving like savages. They burnt their towns and yeah.
Goes back to what I said yesterday. You know, if you want to turn your back on your law enforcement, you better be prepared to make peace with your criminal, okay? And be prepared to be robbed daily, bludgeoned, this, that, and open your house to be robbed. You just put your hands up and say, come on, I'm here to be robbed today. You know, you might as well just make peace with that. You either want, you can have your cake and eat it too, all right? You
and
either
the president,
want law enforcement or you don't.
No, go ahead. Yep. And the president invited these people to the White House today for lunch. I'm just saying. They were invited to the White House. That sends a very clear message and a very disheartening message across America. It does.
You know, I've seen a lot of presidents come and go in my lifetime, okay? And, you know, I am... I may have disagreed with a lot of things that presidential individuals have done in the past, but I have never in my life on this planet to this day have never seen a president do what he's doing against this nation's law enforcement in the history of that office. This is a first. Yeah, this man's making history, but it's not good history.
No. Sorry, I was doing something. I want to talk about one other thing that happened in Ferguson, Missouri. And again, the reason I'm doing this is because it goes to show how pandering to people and how giving squeaky wheels the grease, basically, can have an effect. I followed Ferguson very closely very, very closely. And I remember watching a live stream one night when the National Guard was out there. And I watched two things happen that night. I watched a flag being burnt in front of the National Guard, and they couldn't do anything about it. And then after the flag was burnt, there were pieces of that flag on the ground, and one of the National Guardsmen went to pick it up. And one of the reporters, a sympathizer with Black Lives Matter, went up to that National Guardsman and said, "What are you doing? Why do you care? It's just a piece of cloth." To that guardsman, that is more than a piece of cloth. To every American, every citizen on this soil and abroad, that should be more than just a piece of cloth. That broke my heart, that guardsman had to, while he's picking up these pieces, had to sit and listen to these people saying these things to him. The people he defends were in his face saying, "It's just a piece of cloth." They don't even understand what that is. They don't even understand what it means to this guardsman, to this man who puts his life on the line for us. They have no grasp of the concept of true loyalty to your country. None. They like our laws. They like breaking our laws. They like hiding behind our Constitution and their constitutional rights. But they believe that they're the only ones entitled to those rights. And that's disgusting. But the other thing I watched in Ferguson happen with our guardsmen, they had pulled up, I believe this was during the burning, or right after, like maybe a night after the burning. They were trying to prevent more damage. They had pulled up in their tank, whatever it was, and gotten out of their vehicle and were standing in a line. And the police were in charge. And they, a pastor with the Black Lives Matter, walked over to the police and he said, "You got to get these guardsmen out of here. They're scaring the protesters. You got to get the guardsmen out. They're scaring the protesters." And I swear to you, it wasn't within a few minutes the guardsmen had to turn tail. They had to get back in their tank and they left and they went down the block. And I have never, to me, that was retreat. To me, that was surrender. And that kind of pandering is exactly what emboldens others to behave the same way. By inviting these people to the White House, you're emboldening people, telling them that the nasty behavior is what's going to get you your way. And that's wrong. That is fundamentally wrong. Wow, you guys got quiet. I'm done.
I mean, you're speaking the truth there, man. I mean, you know, there's nothing that I can say to, you know, add to that. You pretty much covered it. You know, we're just, our nation is in such a hurt, you know, in the way it's being run and allowing, you know, people to strip the various departments across our nation of the very vital things that they do to provide safety for our communities. I mean, come on. I mean, so many people are just out there feeling butthurt. Come on. Really? Let's get over it. Grow up. Get a thicker skin. I mean, don't be offended by every little thing. Let the police do their job. Let them do their job. Let's get back to basic grassroots way of thinking. Your grandparents never thought this way and acting out irresponsibly. You know, and you go back through the generations, maybe you need to go back and reflect on how they approached things. They did it in a dignified manner. Okay, there's a way, if you don't agree with something, there's channels to go through and a way to handle it. You don't have to sit there, become violent, destroy neighborhoods, destroy private property. You know, do you think that the guy down the street, you know, he may not agree with what happened, but do you think he really wants you come there and turning his car upside down because you're pissed off the world? No. Let's get it together, people. Get your heads out of your asses.
You know, people can make a difference, too. All they have to do is actually vote, you know, if they just pay attention. You know, I recently just sent Amanda one of those tests on, what was that, Amanda, that I sent you the test that I sent you the...
I can't think of the website, but it was a presidential thing. Who do you side with? It's isidewith.com maybe or something like that. It's a presidential quiz. You take it where you stand on issues and how important they are to you, and it tells you which candidate. Yeah.
Yes,
and I did take it last night.
Candidate.
Yeah.
Kind of gives you an idea of who has similar views to you and matches you to the closest, you know, and... Because a lot of people don't stay informed, and I mean, there are tools out there to help you be informed. My parents, their church gives them like pamphlets that break down views so that they can make decisions. You know, it's because you don't want to just go in there not knowing anything and vote, but you don't want to be silent and then, you know, you have no say. You can make a difference if you go out and vote. And that's something that we've heard before. You know, we had people that had never voted before suddenly voted for the president. You know, they said suddenly all these people that had never voted before came in and voted. And, you know, if you get out there, your voice is going to be heard. You can do something. We talked about those letters yesterday. Amanda, we talked about those letters that you had on the website, but you said those were for more local. But people can send letters out, you know, get their voices heard.
Absolutely. Yes. So the political game is very complicated if you really dig into it, but it's also very simple. It is very simple, and I think that something that people should be doing is talking to others. Everybody says you don't discuss politics, religion, and I don't remember, taxes or something. I don't know what the third one is. But
there's always a platform. Like
yes,
anything else, you know, pick your battles wisely and where you choose to have them. You know,
right.
You
but
don't
you
want to do
have...
that in a, after you've been drinking. No.
No.
But if you're sitting
at home,
yeah. Got some friends over, and you want to talk politics, by all means.
If someone is welcome to hear the dialogue, if they don't want to hear the dialogue, you are absolutely best to just shut up because you're just going to cause a fight. But if someone is open to hearing that you have an understanding and that you know, at least know why you're voting for someone, guys. If you're going to vote, know why you vote for that person. Don't vote for that person because of the color of their skin or because, you know, you want the first female president or don't buy this bullshit. Don't
do your homework.
Yes, and so let me back on Tammy. You know, you can make a difference, and you can. Let me go into the basics of politics that people I think really need to grasp. You have a state representative in the Senate and in the House of Representatives, and you have a congressional representative in the Senate and the House of Representatives. Those people were elected, maybe not by you individually, but by your area, where you live. Those people were elected. And those people know beyond the shadow of a doubt if their district, their area, our area, gets pissed off about something that they do, they're going to get a bunch of mail about it. And when they get that mail, they're going to see, oh my God, if I don't fix this, then I'm not going to get elected next time. And that is your very simplistic basics of politics. Your representatives listen to their constituents. They have to. They have to. So, and if you, and truth be told, bottom line, if you don't like, if they vote a way you don't like, or they pass a law that you don't like, then you don't vote them in again. Period. If you voice your opinion or voice the way you feel to your representatives, they do listen, guys. They do. I know many, many, many state representatives. I know a couple of congressional representatives. They do listen. And that is the best way you can make a change. You might only be sending one email to your representative, but you might be one of 100,000 sending that same email to your representative.
Well, also remember, too, you know, in the political game, your state representative or your local alderman or whoever in that capacity, they're more apt to listen to the public because they don't answer to big business. They don't have big business funding their campaigns. This is a local thing where they're listening to their local constituents. That's you, folks. You are the eyes and ears of the community. You report it to your rep. Your rep is the one that goes to bat for you. Okay? He's not answering to Joe Blow Industries because they just donated $20 million to his campaign. That's not how it works on that level. That's why I consider them the bulldog of politics. They are the bulldogs of politics. Now, when it gets into into the hands of senators, congressmen, you're talking a whole different political ballgame. So you have to change how you handle it. But your reps are bulldogs for you. Use them. Utilize them. They will go to bat for you.
100%. And remember that your representative on the federal level, your representative is speaking for you. It boggles my mind to see Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid. You see these people and they look like, I mean, honest to God, they look like they're on drugs. The things that come out of their mouth just blows my mind. And I'm going, And who was the one? Who was the guy that said, "If you're being raped, just pee your pants, and it'll make the rapist run away"? Come on, guys, you need to understand. Everyone needs to understand. These people were elected. They were chosen by their constituents. Do you think half of those people voting for these guys, making these ignorant statements, and standing up there looking like they're half drunk? I mean. When Nancy Pelosi talks, you're like, what did she just say? Did she forget her antipsychotic meds today? Something's up with her. she doesn't even talk right. And you look at it and you're going, how does she get elected again? How does she keep getting reelected? And here's the answer. People don't pay attention. They go to the ballot. The ones that do go to the ballot, they're like, oh, Pelosi, I know that name. She's been there they might even think he's been there for a while. They might think Nancy Pelosi is a he, for all I know. But they look at it and they're like, oh, that's a familiar name. Okay, I'll just check. These people
exactly.
are elected.
I mean, I've seen people get elected just because of their name was the same as a former politician that was popular. Okay, but they have no idea that these two people are two different people, two different families, no way connected. But the name was identical, so they automatically, okay, I'll go for that.
Yeah, so bottom line, if you don't know what you're voting for, don't vote. You know, it's not against the law, and there's nothing wrong with if you don't know those people you're voting, you know, when you go to the ballot box and you see your choices and you don't know either of those choices or any of those choices, don't eeny, meeny, miny, moe it. Don't.
Well, that's another thing, too. You know, people don't have the right to complain about something if they're not willing to try and solve the problem. You can't sit there and elect some, say, you know, oh, I can't stand this president. He's doing terrible this or that and the other. But you didn't vote. You didn't do your homework. You didn't chime
or,
in and make it count. So do you
or,
have a reason to complain? No. You didn't do anything about it. You sat on your hands.
Or they did go vote. And they said, oh, well, let's make history and have the first black president. And then what I'm, you know, we're looking at 2016, let's have the first female president, Hillary Clinton, Hillary for president, we're going to have a woman running the country.
That
if you did that,
that
oh, God, don't get me started. Oh, God, don't get me started on Hillary.
I would take her ass out to Guantanamo Bay, lock her in the deepest, darkest cell, and forget about her.
I have family members to this day that I absolutely cannot open my mouth about politics in front of because it turns into the nastiest fights ever. But I have one particular family member that going to vote for Hillary Clinton because they want the first female. And that scares me. This woman is one of the smartest people that I know, but she's not politically smart. She is a bleeding heart. She is a bleeding heart. So she thinks that she knows what she's voting for.
Obviously not.
But she literally wants a female president so bad, she's going to check that box. She's going to check the box next to Hillary Clinton. And that scares me because this woman has a brain. This is a very successful woman. Very successful. I'll just throw it out there. It's my stepmom. She was my stepmom for 22 years. And she is...
like that.
She's a bleeding heart. She's a bleeding heart. She believes in... She believes that you can legislate equality. She believes that women do deserve the same pay as men. And don't get me started on that. Don't get me started on that because I will go forever. But she, like I said, she's brilliant. She's got this major job with a major corporation. She travels a lot for work. She's a very smart woman, and she wants to see a woman president, and she's going to check that ballot box. And I've had to...
Well, one day, when the right candidate comes up to bat. But right now, with what we're faced with and what we're being offered, it's just not
there. To her, Hillary Clinton is the right president because Hillary Clinton wants women to have equal pay. Hillary Clinton believes that you can legislate equality. She believes that things like affirmative action actually work. She believes that, you know, we should give more.
So, in other words, if Palin was running and she was running against Hillary, then she would actually have to do some homework as to see who is the best candidate, not based on gender.
No, she would still be voting for Hillary because she believes in the bleeding heart shit. She believes in a utopian society. She believes that you can write laws that make blacks equal to whites and women equal to men.
So in other words,
and it
she's
just
still
doesn't
living.
Work that way. She's a hippie, in my opinion.
Well.
She's a hippie, and she believes this bleeding heart stuff, you know. And so, anyway, guys, we could go on all day, but the point is, know what you're voting for. Don't just randomly check boxes. And it's okay to leave boxes blank if you don't know. But there is the channels to go through, like Cammie said. Your voting counts, and your voice to your representative counts. Utilize it. Don't burn buildings. Don't tip police cars. You're not going to. You might be getting somewhere in the White House right now, but you're not going to get anywhere. In society, in real life, you're not going to get anywhere by doing those things. Take the proper channels and follow your politics. Again, it's very basic. It's very simple. It gets complicated whenever you really dig into it, but you don't have to know all the complicated stuff. Just know and understand that your voice matters, and you do matter to you are a constituent. That's an important word. You are a constituent.
Exactly.
And the fact that you are a constituent matters. Utilize it.
Remember, people, when you're voting, you say that you're not politically savvy, okay? Not everybody is, but in some way, shape, and form, you play politics every day of your life, and you don't even realize you're doing it. When you go out to buy a new car, you're playing politics with that salesman because you want the best deal you can get, so you negotiate. What do you think politicians do? They negotiate. They play the political gambit. And that's what you do on a day-to-day basis. You do it every day. You just don't realize you're doing it. So be in your go out to buy a product. You do your homework. You want the best deal you can get, and you want a quality product. Why don't you turn? That's what you're doing with your politicians. You want the best candidate, best quality, the best turnout, what they're going to do positive for this nation, you know. Yeah, they're all going to have some things that are bad about them, but you have to look the checks and balances, you know? Sometimes you have to pay Peter to pay Paul, but do your homework. You do it every day of your life. Do it the same way with your politician.
Because your children and your grandchildren's future depends on it.
Absolutely. But that scares me too, because I look at some of the youth of today, because parents will not put the boot in their ass. If that's what our future looks like, I'm scared. I'm literally scared to see what this future is going to be. I mean, maybe not so much me. I won't be around. But my children will be. Your children will be. What are they going to be faced with? Be on the tip of their nose.
So let's end it on this note. What David says all the time. The everyone gets a trophy generation. The everyone gets a trophy generation. I love that. It's perfect. David didn't come up with that on his own, I don't think. I'm pretty sure I've heard it lots before. But it's perfect summary, and that's what's going on. So those of you that can, those of you that are old enough to vote, get your butts out and do it. And don't vote if you don't know. Don't vote for a familiar name. That's what gets us in trouble. Okay, guys, I'm going to sign off. We went quite a bit into overtime again, but I'm okay with that.
As always, it's a pleasure.
Yes. Thank you guys for calling in. Great conversation today, and I will talk to you guys probably tomorrow.
Yep. Have a good one.
Bye, Tammy.